Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
JB Weld, today's podcast brought to you by JB Weld, world's strongest bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. You got to keep it in your cupboard, your toolbox, your garage. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, wherever you find finer products. Proudly made in the U.S. of A. Well, we'll do the Father's Day recap. I'll tell you why the hell I haven't gotten any sleep once again, scared out of my mind. And we'll do the Rotten Tomatoes game right after this.
Hey guys, Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man?
What is a man?
Are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, girl.
No. I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got that are missing.
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Randy Couture, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, still bummed his hand surgery ruined the annual Father's Day golf day with his dad, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian. Don't worry, the guy sucks cock. All right, lots to talk about. We got our barbecue, Carolla family barbecue recap. We got Father's Day and what everyone was up to. With that, I got some thoughts on a new Netflix sitcom with Melissa McCarthy, I should say.
Oh, I saw the snippet.
And her husband.
Ben Falcone.
I'll tell you what's not a good sign. It's not a good sign when you see something of an artistic endeavor. Mm-hmm. Like I once saw a comedian open for Jon Stewart, and Jimmy and I both sat there and went, what's the story with this guy? Is he related to Jon Stewart?
Oh, boy.
So when you start
that
asking.
That line of questioning is damaging.
Kind of questioning.
How'd you get in here?
Yeah, so.
How'd you get the number?
Right. It was trending, or the number one sitcom or something on Netflix, God's Favorite Idiot. God's Favorite Idiot. Oh, and geez. I thought, I'll give it a look. And I was watching it. I got about halfway in, and you know, it's like Melissa McCarthy. She's always funny and a big get for your sitcom on Netflix, and a starter husband, Ben Falcone. And then at a certain point, I stopped and I said, I bet Ben Falcone wrote this. And I also bet he's like the creator, because otherwise I don't think we would be seeing this.
But hold on. We got a big star attached.
I think I can deliver my wife we do this. And I was like, yeah, this isn't good. So there's some story here, and I fast-forwarded to the end, and it was created by and written by Ben Falcone. It's not good that I was able to suss that out in advance.
Yeah, I saw, you know, how it automatically starts a clip from the show, and I was watching, and I was like, well, that's Melissa McCarthy being very Melissa McCarthy, and that's fun, but I didn't click on it.
One of the episodes, they had a...
How many did you watch?
Oh, yeah. God.
When you say halfway, do you mean halfway through the season?
Of this thing you don't like.
Well,
how many did you watch?
What ended up happening is it got through to the end, and then I saw the credits scroll quickly.
Yeah, and then they go right into the next episode.
So then I go, oh, rewind, yeah. You know, to credit. I do not have full dominion over my remote
right.
as it pertains to rewinding or fast forwarding for the different platforms.
Right.
I can do it with the TiVo or the DirecTV, whatever, but then you go to Netflix and they have a different thing.
Netflix wants to shuffle you right to the next episode. You get like a second half of credits.
I would ask that the streaming sites, and I will include pornography.
Oh, boy.
Agree on a standard. You know what I mean? Of what it is, what you know, going forward, moving back. So I ended up trying to rewind before you rewind and you're at the beginning of the next episode.
Yes, exactly.
So then I was like, okay, now I'm at the beginning of the next episode. So then I start fast forwarding through that and I get to the end and I screw that up again. So now I'm three episodes in because I can't really control it. So I was able to see bits and pieces of multiple episodes and I heard a David Bowie song. And then I stopped and I thought, I've been hearing David Bowie songs on TV commercials, on movies, in sitcoms. Mm-hmm. It is Bowie, Bowie, Bowie. You turn the TV on, you will hear a Bowie song somewhere. And then I was like, I don't remember hearing that many Bowie songs behind anything in the past. Again, it would pop up, but it's all the time now.
I feel like there's a national ad that has Heroes or something. I feel like it's in my head.
They have picked up Bowie crafted his songs uniquely to fit well to narratives, which is now ubiquitous. And, you know, it's so weird that a song can be cut in 1978 and then take 37 years off and then become part of the lexicon again.
Fucking A. But, I mean, Rhapsody's the best example.
Here we are. And it's just Bowie, Bowie, Bowie. And I thought, who's got a hold of the catalog?
Yeah.
Because
what's clearable all of a sudden?
Universal Music Group is really pushing it.
Yeah
because when Bowie was alive, it wasn't on every fricocked sitcom on Netflix.
Perhaps Bowie wouldn't have allowed
it's
that.
And on, you know, Infinity automobile commercials and stuff. It's kind of everywhere.
It's that scene from Trading Places at the end where they're on the stock floor and it's like selling and they're like, they're all diving. That's the Bowie catalog.
Yeah. So I'm like sitting around as a pattern person and I'm like, I used to hear a Bowie song now and again, but it was sparse. Mm. Now it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So something happened and somebody got hold of that catalog.
Right.
And so I walked in this morning and I said to Chris, who's got the Bowie catalog? Like, what happened? Warner bought it from Bowie's estate.
There you go.
In January. So the beginning of this year, January 2022.
Let that horse work.
For $250 million.
They're going to get their money back.
So they're going to get their money back. And I don't know who the Bowie estate is, but Bowie died. The estate got it. They sold it for, you know, a mint. And now whoever bought it doesn't really care about the wishes of the estate for Bowie. They just want to get it out there and hammer checks.
Yeah, his son, I'm almost positive, Duncan Jones, is a famous movie director. But I don't know beyond that who would have control of it.
Iman? Was he married to?
Oh, yeah. Hot. Yes. He was married to Iman.
Married.
Yeah. Maybe she wanted a. Maybe she wants to have a comfortable winter of her life.
It pays to be a hot chick. Well, let's face it.
Sure does.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Chris can find out. Bowie left half
his assets to his wife, the other half to his two kids.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. God,
well, they all got
maybe
together.
It's just his children.
$250 million.
Wow.
Well, talking to my ass, am I Duncan Jones? Is David Bowie's son?
Mm.
I thought so.
I'm willing to believe you.
We'll figure that out. Also, then there's the recap. So we'll start with Father's Day. What did you guys do?
Oh, Lightyear, first thing in the morning. It was the best thing. Lightyear came out this weekend, the new Buzz Lightyear Pixar movie and origin story, whatever. And my decision was, well, I'm going to be forced to spend time with my family.
Oh,
so let's do something I want to do. Let's do something I need to do for work. Let's do something I'd like to do. And so Lightyear it is. Tessa, of course, was totally into it. She got a good attention span for a five-year-old.
Yeah.
She was in. So, Bowie, Lightyear, and then in-laws, Chrissy's parents over for a barbecue in the evening.
Oh, nice.
It was nice, you know, straightforward Father's Day stuff. It was lovely.
Yeah, we saw Lightyear on Friday. As okay. But yeah, kids in a movie theater fucking ruins everything. So I don't know. Maybe it was that.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's good.
The thing about, I don't know, is Father's Day bigger now? It did not exist when I was 12.
I see to it that it's big in our house. We had a whole full day.
I do not remember. Now, I come from the Corolla.
That's true. Yeah, how would you know?
It was not a thing. I mean, I don't know.
It was.
Chris, did you, Dawson, was Father's Day? Not, like when you were, you know, in the sixth grade, was that a thing?
Not really. I mean, you know, it's a nice family barbecue day, but
it
wasn't.
You acknowledged it.
We did too.
We acknowledged it. Yeah.
We always went either go karting or putt putt golf.
I don't think my dad has ever barbecued or owned a barbecue.
Wow. That I buy.
Do you realize my dad had a custom barbecue setup? Like two Webers with the legs taken off, into a table with holes cut out just big enough for the Webers to fit into.
Really?
He barbecued turkey for Thanksgiving every year.
Barbecue,
like on a rotisserie.
That sounds delicious.
Did it on the grill on a rotisserie.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was so succulent.
Now, barbecue is, we always talk about these
things. There's no greater contrast in your father experience and mine than the barbecue.
It's barbecue, but it's really just kind of a metaphor. It's a love of life. Mm. You know what I mean? It involves preparation. I mean, it goes further than the taste of barbecue, mm-hmm. because everyone enjoys barbecue.
Well, it's a labor of love.
You're
stuck where you are.
But you're also kind of symbolically saying, I shall devote X amount of hours to these people who live in a house with me so that we may enjoy this thing together.
Totally.
Yeah, I'll party for 4 or 40, whatever it is. You people have fun, drink, enjoy. I will be here tending to this thing for a number
Sounds
of
good.
Hours. And when the task is done, there will be delicious food.
Wow.
Yeah, I like the mindset. I like what a barbecue says.
Represents.
What it represents.
Yes. So we had a very full Father's Day. It was really nice because Andy was, on board with this. So the first thing we did was, and I know it's going to sound super wah-wah, but it wasn't. The first thing we did was go to the cemetery to put rocks on my dad's headstone. And
that's not funny.
But the thing is this is the first time our little guy has ever been to a cemetery. And I said, you know what? I'd rather you do it with us because we kind of get it and I can explain everything.
What's the significance of the rocks?
Okay. So in Judaism, instead of flowers, you could leave flowers if you want, but you bring rocks. And there's lots of reasons and lots of debate as to why some
cheaper
say.
Cheaper than flowers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the debate. Mm. It either keeps the soul down or it keeps the spirits away, but mostly it's because flowers die, they blow away, whatever, rocks that you will know you have been visited. People will know because rocks are like paperweights. Mm. So we like to color rocks and stuff, so we did that the night before. The boys made Chiefs footballs. I made whatever, and then there's a Ninja Turtle, or it's supposed to be at the time.
We had some of that in our family. During Christmas, my dad would say, this lump of coal represents the Earth's forces harnessed.
And that's sad.
To create energy.
So he's Jewish?
Are those hand-painted?
I made the two on the bottom, yeah.
Those are really good.
Thanks.
Hand-painted rocks.
I love painting rocks. It's like my thing.
The blue and the green are really good.
Thank you. I do it like all
painting
the time.
Painting rocks is what somebody yells at you. Get that shit out of here. You go out and paint rocks. Come back when you've changed your attitude.
You're going to hate this even more, but I joined a group on Facebook where you can hide them places and like have people like stumble upon them. Like they're like little like Easter eggs throughout the community. I love painting rocks. Anyway.
Ironic Easter eggs.
That's exactly right. So we went to the cemetery. I got to explain everything to him. It wasn't scary. And you know what? I thought very mature for a six-year-old because I'm standing there and I do start crying and I don't want him to be like weirded out by that. So I was like, you know what? I just really miss my dad. And he's 6 years old. And he goes, me too.
Oh,
as opposed to like freaking out. It was like really sweet. So I took him through the mausoleum and like it was just very nice. So then we wipe our hands of that. We get moving and we go to lunch at the Magnolia Grill in North Hollywood. Mm. I assume you've been. It's been there for 150,000 years.
Mm.
And just a very run down parking lot next to Euphoria, the dog grooming salon.
Oh my God.
And
I tell you, The Simpsons started this stuff, now
the Loftorium.
People do it now.
There's Indiana Bones in the Temple of Groom.
The vast waistband for the big and tall. That's my favorite, the vast waistband for the
That's
big
good.
And tall place.
You know what they have is it's a tennis pro shop called the Merchant of Tennis.
They have the Merchant of Tennis. They have Lawrence of La Brea.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's the Marquis of sod. I think the guy who does the sod front lawns.
That's yeah, that's good. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. Then we had a very rec center centric day. We went to the pool. Of course, I couldn't go in because I am packed with gauze. And then you can flip through.
It would have just soaked it all.
Then we played a
little. You went to North Hollywood Park?
Yeah.
And
we went to the pool.
That's across really from fun. The fire station. Yes. I put my application yep. in all those years
they
ago.
They still said, sit tight. I went over there to check. Then we went to play some hoops in the, 10 feet away in the basketball.
Wow.
We went to play.
Easy, Andy, with the fucking jump shot.
Andy wow. loves basketball. Went to the playground. We went home. We ate Freezy Pops. They played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle video games. I said, you can have anything you want for dinner. I'll make it. I'll buy it. So, Vinny, hold your ears. Andy picked deep dish pizza.
Mm.
So went
Where
and picked
do you get
that
the
up.
Deep dish
There's Gino's East in Sherman Oaks. Yeah, Dawson's giving me the thumbs up. It's really good. So we got him these funny socks and we got him a funny card, and we're going to go see the new King James play downtown about LeBron James.
You you get it at how deep is your love for pepperoni?
Sure.
Which is on Magnolia off of Lancashire. Okay. If you've not been there.
So we like to make big deals out of these things, or at least I do.
What's the protocol if nobody has anything planned for you? I'm just asking for a friend.
Would you
wander in and say to the kids, like, hey, what's up? Do you go right to Father's Day, or do you kick scratch around a little? Like, what you got planned for today?
Nothing.
It's a real 16 candle situation.
Just going to say, ask Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
That's the premise of the movie.
I announced that at some point that my two kids were going to have to take me out for dinner tonight that I would pay for.
Oh,
and, how nice.
That's what we ended up doing.
So nothing on Father's Day?
Well, we went out to a
Father's
dinner,
days.
And at some point, my daughter said she didn't feel that well, but she can drive now.
Ah.
So she left, and me and Sonny just walked down.
Okay.
I didn't see it going that way.
Happy
Father's Day. Maybe they're being respectful, giving you space to celebrate with your dad.
Right. Silently.
Then
privately.
Later. In your own way.
then Tough Night, which is at – I ended up going to bed kind of early for me, about 11. And Phil decided to join me, which is not something he normally does.
Has he healed?
He's on the mend, and he's his old self again.
Okay.
And he mixes it up once in a while, and he decided he should come to bed with me.
Oh, good.
So that he did. But then, at exactly 3 a.m., I heard the handle of my bedroom door jiggle.
Okay.
Now, I, as I've been saying since Loveline, get a lock for your bedroom door.
Oh, boy.
The bolt lock.
Yeah, get one of those thumb turn ones. It doesn't have to be a big old deadbolt, but not bad. But
yeah.
Because you hear enough stories where, I woke up and the guy was masturbating at the end of the bed with a machete. And that could be avoided if you just... All you need is a barrel bolt.
Yeah.
Like, you just need something to stop them from just sort of strolling
sauntering
in.
Now,
people say, what about kids?
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling
most
is,
of all,
if some, yes, very true. If some maniac breaks into the house, you want your cell phone on your nightstand and your door locked.
Sure.
Because you will then have some time and not have a thing where somebody's standing and there's nothing in your bedroom. There's
nothing
you can do. So there's a jiggle on the door.
I've seen Panic Room, dude.
There's Angela Johnson, who we've had on, has a whole routine
That's
about
right.
this.
Oh, right.
Being the dispatcher and be like, you didn't lock your door. I mean, we're coming, but like, this is your fault.
So there's a jiggle at the door.
Oh, boy.
I wake up and as a sort of a like, was there a jiggle at the door? But Phil's in full dog alert, like heads up, head moving around. And I'm like, oh, Phil heard it.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard it. Now, who's jiggling that knob?
Oh, boy.
So I'm like, and I'm looking at kind of a shadow underneath the door with a little bit of light.
I don't like this.
Sure enough, the shadow goes away. So whatever, there's some feet there, but the feet are gone.
Wow, this is nightmarish.
And I'm sort of, now I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, what's the plan? All right, we got to get rid of the boner. That's
sure.
number one.
Dad hasn't gone away yet.
Phil's on his feet. Phil's by the door.
Okay.
But Phil doesn't bark. He never barks. So and I'm standing there. Now I'm trying to kind of peek under the door. And is there somebody wandering around this house? Who would jiggle the doorknob at 3 a.m.?
And you're less afraid and more confused, I would imagine.
I'm like, it could definitely, it's not Natalia. It could be Sunny, but if it's not Sunny, who is it?
We got a problem.
We got a problem. So I get my phone going, you know, just to make sure I could make a call if I had to. And then I kind of slowly unlock the door and slowly open the door. And there's nothing. But Phil kind of goes for something on the ground as if he saw something.
Oh.
Or as if there's a vermin or something.
Yeah.
He makes a little bit of a move in a sort of corner. I can't really see what he's doing. It appears he ate something off the floor. So now I'm like, okay, did somebody throw a treat down? And if somebody threw a treat down, then that's Sunny. But then why didn't Sunny knock? But then Sunny's Sunny, so he wouldn't knock if the door was locked.
And the burglar would want to keep the dog quiet and happy and throw a treat down.
My first thought now is since it's such an unusual thing, well, not such, but it's an unusual thing for Phil to be sleeping with you, and he said he was going to let him out into his room.
Yes. Yeah, so now I creep down the stairs looking around. I start turning some lights on, and sure enough, I go into Sonny's room, and he's up, and he came to get Phil with
there
a treat, but he's so considerate that he wouldn't bang on the door. Once the door was locked, he turned around.
He's not a friend's mom, for God's
headed,
sake.
Headed back downstairs, because that's just who he is.
Right.
And, you know, now it's 3:15 and I'm up.
Yeah.
So now I decided to go, you know, watch some TV for an hour and go to bed. But
once a month, Charlie will fall asleep on Tess's bed, which is the cutest goddamn thing ever. We'll have to go in there, let him out, obviously, to our bed or whatever. So it does happen.
Yeah, so I got straightened out. It was unnerving is what I would call it.
Where I really don't know where you personally stand on home firearms.
I was just thinking about that literally the other day, about the blank, the buckshot, and it's on.
Yeah.
That was your old thing.
I would think that, in the shotgun.
Adam
the blank,
shotgun.
The buckshot, and it's on.
That was his thing.
It makes sense.
I always said, get
it. Full Tony Soprano in the hutch or something.
That's
or the
right.
Wall.
It goes in the hutch. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Except the really hot ones go in the ceiling.
I always said for home protection, get a shotgun, get the kind that holds 8 rounds, pump it. And make the first one a blank and make the second one, you know, like rock salt, mm-hmm. and then have the next 6 be real. Now, I don't know. People would go, oh, listen, in a thing, you don't have time. It's like, I've heard too many stories about people shooting the wrong person running down the stairs and the gun goes off when they trip or whatever. I don't want the first shot to be all business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm with you.
Secondly, if the shit is going down, you could pump those first two out in probably a little under a second if you really, if you just pumped it. They always say the sound of the pump is anyone needs.
Ends most conflicts.
So do you have any?
No.
Do you have anything?
I do, but it's nowhere. It's like locked away in a gun safe. So the answer is no.
Yeah, it's not gonna
happen. I think the second best is they do have those wall-mounted mini pistol safes, and you can just mount it next to your nightstand, and you have to hit the code, and the thing will pop up. I'm just like, there's a part of me that literally would rather get shot than shoot somebody.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, it's just not my thing. Like, just guns. And what it is this. If this is going to be your plan, there must be preparation in a plan.
Dry run.
You must commit that code to memory. You must do it a couple of times. Time yourself. Tell the kids, you know, here's what happens. I'm not giving you the code, blah, blah, blah. And it just feels like
too much.
I am, you know, simultaneously exquisitely motivated and insanely lazy in certain departments. And that department to me is just way too lazy.
Well, I was a single gal, as you know, for many, many years in LA, and I always had a handgun, and I had the safe that I had to memorize the code. So
but you were in a good part of
Koreatown. And so that's the thing. It's like, no, that was Teresa. I was in, East Hollywood. No, I was in Echo Parque.
Oh, boy.
So I had to have
Hold on a second, Gina. Talked out. Is there a difference between Koreatown and East Hollywood?
Oh, my God. One's Mexican, one's Korean.
Yeah.
But that was the thing. Like,
is there a difference between having someone throw shit at you or diarrhea? Is the way I would look at that. The answer is some. I don't know. I don't know what.
Technically, but effectively the same.
Yes.
So, yeah, so if for anyone who thinks they know me and knows where I stand on everything, I'm down. And I assumed you may be too.
I think it would be, depending on where you lived, I would kind of file it under, and by the way, it's time for me. I think your kid should take a defensive driving course.
Sure.
I think they should head on out to the Bob Bondurant School of whatever.
That's wasting my time.
And get that thing out onto the wet down skid pad and feel what a car feels like when it's lost its gription. Yeah. And just really get used to being able to handle that car in a more extreme situation. And I guess I feel the same about guns as well. Like, teach them, show them, have them get the respect for, have them be able to handle it. I don't know that, you know, conceal carry and all that kind of stuff. I'm just not that guy. But I would feel if there was somebody in my life that was like concealed carry or had it in their home, and that person trained on a semi-regular basis, was very familiar with it, maybe ex-law enforcement or something, I would feel super comfortable around that person.
Same. And I've told you this before. We knew someone who their kids grew up from a very young age around guns and knowing how to handle them, but they were never allowed to have toy guns. No Christmas presents, nothing, because they never wanted them to conflate them, because their brain, you know, they're little, and they're like, we just don't do toy guns. They know what we have in the house, and they're kept away, and they aren't scared of them, but we will never give them an opportunity to be confused.
Yeah, I guess it is. The gun math is you hope you never have to use one. Mm-hmm. You probably never will. There is the chance that at some point you're going to wish like hell you had one, but that, depending on where you live and what the neighborhood is and whether they recall the DA or whatever's going on politically, you're probably, you know, there's probably a higher likelihood that somebody steals the gun or your distraught teen uses it to commit suicide or whatever it is. To me, it's just kind of a math equation.
Yeah. And I think I've told you before, when you said the buckshot and the rock salt, you know, they sell, or at least they did at one point, because we did this story, seasoned buckshot. So when you hit the deer or whatever, it's always seasoned, like barbecue meat flavor. Or
that's got to be a goof. That's real.
I mean, we did the story. I don't think it was April Fool's Day.
Well, you wouldn't shoot a deer with a shotgun.
I don't know.
Pheasant or something, or a duck, right?
I imagine.
Because deer hunters use a rifle.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think you can go deer hunting with
buckshot.
The first thing it says is seasoned shot is like killing two birds with one delicious stone.
It is called buckshot, but I don't know that anyone hunt. I don't know anything about hunting, never seen anyone hunt.
I don't know.
With a shotgun.
I'm sure plenty of people will get in touch with
Chris will look it up. Deer hunting with a shotgun? I don't think that's a thing.
Better hit that thing.
Thought
in my
it was
head.
All birds, but it's such a
Well, there's Cajun, lemon pepper, garlic, teriyaki, and honey mustard.
I wonder, I think it's more of a...
My dad used that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's more of a thing that, like, if your wife screws the pooch on the roast, you get to come in and pump.
Right,
just pump
fun.
It and walk back out again.
Yeah.
Chris, anything? Is there such a thing as shotgun hunting with a deer, and then why buckshot?
It's like Homer's makeup gun.
Most parts of the U.S. and Canada likely don't even consider shotguns when it comes to hunting deer. They're usually for waterfowl or turkey, but there are places in the Midwest where if you're hunting whitetails, a slug gun is common.
Oh, but that's just a single slug. That's just one big marble. That's not the shot or the
spray.
Multiple shot.
In Michigan for many years, shotguns were the only legal firearm for deer.
Interesting.
Really? All right. So, but look, you could season a turkey while it's 80 feet in the air.
That's right.
All right, let's see. We'll take a break. We got the barbecue recap. I got Bill Maher recap. Oh. We got Rotten Tomatoes game. We never played last week.
Too much show.
We can do that. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld, world's strongest bond. JB Weld. Let's fix things. Let's not throw things away, people.
For Father's Day, Christy used JB Weld on a broken chariot. She used the wood, quick wood is what it's called, and it's like the instant wood putty, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she fixed a chair that she had broken. And as a gift to me, because I'm like, can we fix that chair that you broke? Can we fix that chair?
Yeah.
And out comes the JB Weld.
Now, is that her department? I mean, fixing the chair?
Well, arts and crafts, Mod Podge. That's what I
do. Either of us could have fixed the chair, but the chair was broken by her hand. The chair was her fault. The breaking of the chair was her fault.
All right.
But clarify so people don't think she sat on it and broke a chair.
The chair was not sat on.
Okay.
The chair was hurled.
Oh,
shit. Hurled. Whoa.
I was not expecting
this is getting
that.
Cathartic.
Wow. So she went.
She threw a chair at you?
No, she threw a chair in anger.
Wow, she went
because
full Geraldo.
She really did.
Wow.
This is JB Weld's getting a lot more than they paid for. Tessa was having a very hard time taking some medication the point where she became obstinate to this medication. It was antibiotics.
Oh, the bubblegum pink shit?
Yeah, and like she had to take it, right? Yeah, when she started antibiotics, you had the whole cycle. Yeah. So here it is like day three. And she is not taking the antibiotics, and Christy's trying everything, and I'm trying everything, and it reached the boiling point, and the chair went flying.
I admire awesome. Her passion.
That's awesome.
Anyway, the chair sat broken, and the JB Weld to the rescue.
Wow. Well, you can keep it in your kitchen drawer, possibly your therapist's office.
Yeah.
Toolbox, craft supplies, the garage, wherever. Also, the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered. And it's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, over Brian's house, and proudly made in the U.S. of H. JB Weld. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at GEICO.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, this is Victoria from Ohio. I'm an Instacart shopper, and I know you talked about avocados and the varying of ripeness. I do indeed shop accordingly for my customers, but just an FYI, I've had an Instacart order get Plan B, was the only item, and they tip me, not cash, not on the app, but in Taco Bell taco coupon. That was my tip. And you know what? Just to help somebody out, I was all for it. Get it on. Thanks.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Awesome.
Plan B.
Indeed.
I like that they got Plan B, but that's where someone shops for you and just brings it to your house?
Instacart, yeah.
I feel like you should go mule your own Plan B and the Taco Bell, but that's definitely not a Jew leader in the clubhouse.
My
Am
God.
I right?
Yes, of course. Plan B and Taco Bell coupons.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Get that one chambered.
I saw something I hadn't seen before at the barber clip shop. I don't know, Brian, if you've ever come up. I'm saying Brian because it's
hurtful.
Definitely a male
really
thing.
Really mean.
Saw a guy. I sat down. There were only two people in the place, one other customer beside me. Guy had a pretty epic comb-over scene going.
Still?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Not Jerry Buss, but smaller, lower key, but he had a comb over going.
Okay.
And I was thinking, the guy was 60, whatever, sort of brought it from one side to the other and then brought it sort of from the back to the front. And I thought to myself, in all the years, I've never seen anyone work a comb over. Like,
right.
They're in shame. They're in secret. Or these are back alley type barbers who deal with these guys. And all the trips, and this is, average of every 2 months since I was 18, I've never seen, witnessed somebody cut a comb over head. And then, then what the rules are and how it works. Because for me, they always go like, they go, number two on the, they do me like they do sheep, they go number
sure
two
you.
On the side, number three on the top.
Then they make a duvet.
What do you want to make, what shape you want the back of your neck in? Never seen a comb over.
So he literally took the, the side piece and the back piece, trimmed them, and then put them back, rearranged them back on top?
Yeah, well, you have to have an understanding with your barber if that's the route you're going.
That's someone who's bleeding this guy, because if he said shave it, he'd never see this guy again.
Yeah, but this wasn't comb overs and such, or simply comb overs.
Fantastic comb overs.
Perry comb over.
Good, good.
They didn't have that. It was just the sports clip and La Cañada, and this guy just walked in.
He's proud.
He didn't have his person. So they do a thing where they pull your tab when you give them your number, or your ID, or whatever it is, and the thing comes out, and they go, okay, number two on the side, you look the back, and it's actually kind of efficient.
Yeah, sure.
And that means you could go with any barber because they just have the little cheat sheet that says number two on the side, number three on the top. They had a cheat sheet on this guy.
Oh, so he had been there before.
Which is, take, but not.
But not to his guy.
Right.
It's a, round robin of whoever. It's all random who you get. And then, so she was like half inch off all the way around. 5 inches side, 5 inches back. Or like she said, 5 inches left, 5 inches back.
Wow.
That's, of course, architecture.
I just sat there staring into the mirror. He was behind me, but I was studying his reflection, the entire thing. And she pulled it over and got the 5-inch side over and got the side five. Now, I don't know. I started thinking about it. Like, bigger tipping in that situation. Is there a Hippocratic oath? You know what I mean?
Or like, do no harm.
A plastic surgeon comes in and someone goes, I want a, fake titty size 52 triple R. They go like, I don't do. I just won't do that.
Right.
I didn't get into this for that.
It's not ethical.
The conscientious objectors.
Yeah.
I'll speak from experience. I did a couple of the Fantastic Sam's or whatever the fuck the other one is, towards the end of my hair run. And never once did I get the, hey, ever think about shaving it? Or never once did I get that. I was always like, what can we do for you, sir?
Yeah.
So they're in it to, like Gina said, bleed you.
It's just like they don't get paid enough to try and convince you to alter your life that way.
Well, let's not forget that young 16 and a half year old Adam Carolla's life was altered by a brave woman who worked at Supercuts in North Hollywood, who, when I was going through my Greg Brady like hair transformation, and I used to come in there and I'd go, it's sticking up, like just cut the curls down off and get it to sit down, pat it down. She was like, oh yeah, I know what to do. And I was like, you do? And she just started cutting away on my weird Jewy fro-y, but it wasn't Jew-fro. It was like matted down and bucket head and everything like that. And she wasn't doing what they normally do. And then at the end, she like got it wet and frizzed it up with her fingers a little. And she's like, just walk home in the hot sun. When you get home, you'll be looking at a different head. And I'm like, okay. And by the time I got home, I had a fro. I had a natural.
Right.
And
she cut she cut for the curls, not against the curls.
She did. She said, what does his hair want to do? Not does what he want for his hair.
Correct.
She ruled me out of the equations. Yeah. Like, I know what you need to do.
Yeah.
And then I got home and I had this fro. And I went to school the next day and everyone's like, you got a perm. Oh, and I was like, I didn't do anything. I just, this is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my hair like came out of the closet.
That's right. Curly girls, we're all very used to that. When you try to cut against the curl, have fun with that. So, but that was your fairy godmother. How often does that happen?
Never. I agree. She just followed her marching orders. And now
she knew it was good for you.
Yeah. Do they say, like, in this day and age of you know, getting out the short clippers and talking about all the greats, all the luminaries that are out there now, the Bull Bryants, right. the Michael Jordans of the world.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Or
is that bad for business?
Well, that's kind of my theory, you know, that their job is to keep you coming back.
Yeah.
Not to set you free.
Well, she combed it over, and she got one 5 inches long, and the other.
Did you see him leave?
Mm-hmm.
Did it look like a nice comb over?
It looked like a version of what he walked in with, but it was that. I mean, it was half inch in the back, and then 5 inches on the right, 5 inches on the back, and.
When you started this report, I was thinking, when's the last time I saw a genuine, earnest come over in the wild? It's usually like in movies to indicate an idiot,
right?
There is a lesser, older guy. It really is only going to work.
I don't mean Trump or Biden or anything. You know,
there's a lesser gray hair, thin, fine hair guy, normally the friendliest guys on the planet, who have a lower key, kind of smoother comb over, if you kind of picture it. You know, not the big 70s, but just a thin, fine, kind of always looks like hair's a little sweaty or something.
Right. Christie's dad has that, but that's just the way he combed his hair, and now he's an older gentleman, and
it,
you know, the silver goes that way.
Yeah.
Well, she should throw a chair at him and get him to just buzz that shit
that out,
off.
Actually, I was thinking about this.
Listen, I applaud it. That's passion. You know what I mean?
It's more frustration. I think every parent of a
but
five-ish.
You have to care.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Oh, she wanted her to take the medicine.
She didn't throw the chair at the child, so it's okay.
The chair was thrown at no one. The fridge, really.
Nice. All right. So then the other thing I noticed when I was sitting at I was looking at the products, and I realized I'd seen this my whole life, and I've never had any thoughts about it. And then I realized, must be comedians who do jokes on it, but the product, Barberside, still exists.
Uh-huh.
In that blue tube.
Yeah, well, now it's in a spray bottle or whatever.
I like the blue tube.
Whatever it is. And then I thought,
Wasn't that a cylinder you kept
the
comb?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Barberside sounds like your barber killed somebody.
Yeah, you're killing
like
a barber.
When a barber kills his wife, it's Barberside.
He committed Barberside.
And because we have suicide and we have
homicide
and we have matricide, like the patricide. Why are we doing the side?
Yeah.
Maybe it's killing germs.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know, but it's still going, Barberside's still going strong in a squeeze bottle now. I can't imagine what's in there, but it exists.
Oh, it's altering our DNA for sure.
And,
speak for yourselves.
All right. We got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play.
And the barbecue was amazing.
Fans are great.
It was great.
Absolutely.
Such a big
fun
day. Just
a good group, and the number of people that traveled.
Oh, my God. It was
everyone from somewhere.
Somebody was from the Dominican Republic. Yeah. A couple people were there from the Dominican Republic.
I know. I got some currency.
Oh.
That I later gave Sonny.
That's awesome.
All right. Shall we play the game?
Listen to that. It's a high falsetto voice that can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. Dozen names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh. If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Well, in honor of Adam's next book, the brand new one, Everything Reminds Me of Something, Advice, Answers, But No Apologies, which you can pre-order right now at Amazon. Today, we're going to take a look at some movies featuring the celebrities who asked Adam questions in the book.
Interesting.
Before he met Chris in Italy, Judd Apatow was writing and directing a movie about a directionless stoner with a heart of gold and the laugh of Seth Rogen. He ends up expecting a child after a one-night stand with an entertainment reporter. And it is Seth Rogen, Katherine Heigl, and Paul Rudd from 2007. The movie is Knocked Up.
Very enjoyable movie.
I enjoyed this movie.
And funny with a heart, I think
that's
you would say.
That's his genre, Judd Apatow.
He really landed this one, and I really enjoyed it. Katherine Heigl was likable. I hear she's
you
not.
You sound very surprised.
I've heard otherwise.
Yeah, I think that the cast of Grey's Anatomy might have feelings about that.
Yeah, so...
Or the writers.
Yeah, so what's not to like, except for they're always fucking shitty with comedies.
Yeah.
It's just rough on comedies.
Was Girls out yet? Because I was going to say, I mean, Judd Apatow has like cred, you know,
Great
like
Girls?
In that.
But this isn't looked at as like an intellectual
okay,
comedy.
Okay, I see. Because
like,
I never saw the whole movie. I've just seen it in bits and pieces. Uh-huh. So I really don't know.
You enjoy it.
It's a little bit of a stoner comedy, a little bit. But it's
okay.
good.
Okay.
It's funny. It's very well done. And it is, if you're looking for, you know, romantic, lighthearted, funny comedy.
Watch Road
up.
Hard.
Watch Road Hard.
And then
watch yeah. Knocked Up. There's a very good execution of this. I can't figure out what they wouldn't like about it other than they're just sort of comedy snobs.
Did this lead to This Is 40? Were that the same Rudd and Amy Mann? Or Amy Mann?
Yeah.
Was that the Mann characters?
I think that
it
was.
Spin-off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys.
Okay, hold on.
Want to lock? Get in, Brian, you in?
Yep, we're good.
All right. It should be in the 80s, no problem, but I went 78 just because they're rough on comedy sometimes.
I went with my heart, 81.
I'm going to maybe need to crawl back big time because I said 66, and I haven't seen it.
Brian, did you say 81?
81.
Okay. Knocked Up is certified fresh at 89%.
Wow.
Nice to know.
You guys would just shut up with your commentary, your speculation.
Well, we did vote accordingly.
I said it was a really good movie five times.
But that they wouldn't go for it.
Audience has it 83. It's kind of rare that a audience score is lower than a critic score on a comedy. But this is very good. Yes.
Speaking of Judd Apatow, this movie was also written by him, but features another comedian who asks a question in Adam's book, Jeff Ross. In this movie, two Boston-born basketball-loving brothers decide to kidnap a player from an opposing NBA team to ensure victory for theirs. With Daniel Stern, Dan Aykroyd, and Damon Wayans from 1996, Celtic Pride.
I've never heard of this movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, look at the poster. You know it's funny. Judd Apatow wrote this?
Wow.
Is that what we figured out?
That's what it says right here.
Huh.
Didn't know that.
Did not know that either. There was a string of we have to kidnap the best player on the other team so the other team will fail by just crazed fans. It rarely worked. It sort of has, you know, it's just not the kind of thing that could play for 100 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the same joke.
They'd probably cancel the game and look for the guy.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything good about this, but Judd's a funny writer, so...
But he was probably writing to that genre.
He co-wrote it with Colin Quinn, too.
Oh, damn! Oh. That
important,
should be a great
important
movie!
Important note! Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
You know, the thing about writing comedy is it's not really like cooking. Like, if you said to me, oh, Adam Perry Lang and Jimmy Kimmel are going to be in charge of the barbecue and the pizzas for the weekend for the Super Bowl game. I'm like, this is fucking going to be awesome.
Yeah.
The comedy doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get two guys you think are the funniest. They could be starring in it. They could be writing it. They could be great. And then it's like,
This the alchemy that doesn't make any sense sometimes.
Yeah, and then the other direction. Someone you never heard of. Someone who wasn't formerly that funny. Write something.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So,
man, where do I go with this?
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Stern and, you know, Aykroyd are good. They're all good.
Shit.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Everyone in?
Yeah. Is Brian in?
Fuck. All right.
I think I went high.
I did too. Fuck.
29.
21.
33.
Celtic Pride is rotten at 8.
Shit! Oh!
Damn it.
This is not a good game.
People have it at 32. Wow, is this about also, as low as all those people together could create?
And I can tell you from that first poster why it would not play well today. I don't think they'd like the black man sitting there with ropes around his wrists. Mm-hmm. That's not great.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
Very Roots-esque.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Ray Romano is featured in Adam's new book. Oh. He was praised for his performance in this Sundance Darling about an interracial couple who must deal with their cultural differences before one of them falls seriously ill.
I love this movie.
The recently dumped boyfriend ends up bonding with the parents of his hospitalized ex-girlfriend. And did I mention this was also produced by Judd Apatow? Starring Kumail Nanjiani, Zoe Kazan, and Holly Hunter, and of course Ray Romano. From 2017, The Big Sick.
This was a really good movie, and
people
I love
like
the parents.
This movie, yeah. And we're going to get some intersectional points tacked on here thematically from a cast standpoint. It's all there for a high score.
All the ingredients.
But as we established, sometimes the ingredients don't come together.
All right, everyone loved this one.
Shut up, Brian.
It was highly praised.
Directed by Michael Showalter.
And we got the intersectional points.
You know, it's based on their story, right?
Well, yeah, not her, but yeah, no. his story, yeah. Okay, hold on.
I'm going to say with all that, 94.
Oh, 92.
88.
The Big Sick is certified fresh at 98%.
Oh, okay. Everybody calm down. I don't know about all that. It's really good.
Well, you get the intersectional bump. You didn't put the bump on the theme. Very good.
Now, from what I can tell, Judd Apatow had nothing to do with his next movie.
He enjoyed it.
But it's got everything to do with Pauly Shore. Two friends just looking for a bathroom end up sealed off in an ecological experiment where their antics jeopardize the scientists' plans, starring Pauly Shore, Stephen Baldwin, and Rose McGowan from 1996, Biodome.
Anybody see this?
Probably not.
Probably
which was also
saw
the
bits and pieces.
Wasn't this the premise basically of the Simpsons movie? Remember?
More or less.
Yeah. Okay. This was a big movie in terms of everyone knew what it was when it came out. I don't know if everyone saw it, but everyone recognized the name.
Yeah.
Look at this poster. William Atherton gets third billed.
Who is that?
He's the smarmy guy from Die Hard. He's a prick in Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know where Rose McGowan is, somebody's girlfriend in this. I don't remember her in this. But now, all right. So
you're dome away from home.
Celtic Pride was 8.
Yeah.
Is this lower than 8? I mean, I don't think it's a better movie, but how do you get much lower than 8?
And it's one of these things where you wouldn't be caught dead praising this because it was kind of a punchline stoner movie.
Right.
Okay.
But now, stoner movies can get a couple points from being a stoner
not
movie.
Not the Pineapple Express way. That's like cool stoner movie.
Yes. All right.
Hold on.
Wow.
I think there's a big enough stoner community that if you made a film called Dude, Where's My Doobie, your base would be 22%, no matter how bad it was. Ooh, all right.
Hold on.
Brian's the kind of guy who will throw a zero burger up every once in a while and just go for it.
I have been known to do that.
And the thing about these kinds of movies is the Celtic Pride's got me all fucked up because there are movies like this where like, 27, you know, that was cute or some version of that. Yeah. I'm going one lower than Celtic Pride and 7.
Damn.
Zero.
Damn. 18. Certified fresh.
Biodome is rotten.
Oh, yeah.
At 4%.
Oh.
Oh, shit. What'd you say, 0?
0.
Damn.
4. Is that 1 out of 26?
Because there's 26 reviews.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a tough game for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a remake of the classic 1984 movie, where four men cross streams. This version takes a more feminine approach to catching spectral foes, featuring Adam Ray, who appears in Adam's book. as the voice of Slimer, and starring Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, and Leslie Jones from 2016 Ghostbusters.
I did not enjoy this.
I never saw it.
You're really not missing much.
Okay. Was it the same story just told through a female cast, or was it a different premise? Or
that's part of the problem. It was poorly. Do you see it, Adam? It's poorly conceived. No. Like they exist in a world where no ghost. I forget if Ghostbusters had existed in this world or not. They're picking up from scratch, basically.
Okay, because people were. Some dudes were fucking outraged that this movie was ever made. So I couldn't get a good vibe on whether it was that or whether it was not. It was generally not good.
They were a little bit of both. They were pre-outraged,
right,
and it didn't happen to be good.
Okay.
Right. They'll probably say, oh, it was the haters. But
which means the critics would probably overcompensate for the Reddit
traditionally
forums.
When you do an all-female version of typical male vehicle and it really lands, the critics pump it up a little more. They like,
oh, sure.
They like it.
Girl Oceans, I can't remember.
I was just about to say, I would guess Ocean's 8 would be a higher score than it deserves. I thought it was a very middling movie, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a higher score.
Yeah, they
no
like,
clue what to say about,
you know,
this.
Like if there's a superhero movie with a dude and a superhero movie with a chick and they're both 70, the women will get a little bump because we like, yeah, the
we're glad
woman,
that's happening.
Female kicking ass.
Okay.
So
I don't even know.
But nobody said anything good about this.
The debate wasn't whether it was good or not. It was why it was bad. Are you being a hater or was it not good?
Yes.
Precisely. I don't think anything had to do with the quality of the film. It was all about what are you upset by the idea this movie exists?
Was anyone overcompensating trying to push against
that's
that
what I'm saying.
Narrative?
That's what the critics.
I can see that.
Now, look, the game is fairly close. Brian has a bit of a lead, but this movie.
This is a tough one.
There could be about 25 points here. This could be a shit show at 19 or like 49.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're going to have to figure out, Gina, whether you're going low or high on this one.
Done.
Okay. I'm going to say 38.
I'm going to say what Gina said, which is I think critics were kind of pushing back against the pre-hate and thought they should have loved this movie. So I'm going to go with the barely fresh 65.
Oh, wow. Well, I stuck by Adam Carolla's rules. I said I got to go Adam high or Adam low. I went Adam high at 49.
All right.
Not
fresh,
high enough. Ghostbusters.
It.
Certified fresh.
No!
73%.
Oh, shocking.
And I got the audience score.
This is not a good movie.
People have it at 49. Well,
wow.
This is exhibit A of the critics being like too woke and trying to, you know, go, I'm going to take a stand against bullying women, oh, female cast. And they did it, didn't they? All I heard is this thing was an abortion, but the critics made it. And when is a comedy 24 points higher from the critics than it is from the audience.
It's not very,
almost
it's not
always
very
the other way around.
Tessa got into Ghostbusters for a short time, so I showed her this one. Thinking, oh, she'll love it. Bored.
Wow.
Didn't even finish it.
That was a death knell for me.
Well, before I give the scores, I would like to say again that Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something, Advice, Answers, But No Apologies, is available for pre-order right now at Amazon, so go ahead and do that. We're currently working on the audiobook, and it's going to be awesome. Gina Grad, congratulations, you made the podium. Adam Carolla coming in with a score of 74.
One higher than Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Gina, you are firmly in last place with 96.
Shit. That's not good.
And Bald Brian blew away the competition with the win, the score of 39.
Wow.
Yeah. Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
A lot of fans of the game at the barbecue.
Oh,
They were sure to tell me.
I'm sure.
Well, he had to go higher or low on that. All I heard was horrible things. I can't imagine that thing was in the 70s.
Wow.
Overcompensation, like yours were saying.
All right. Randy Couture, UFC legend and actor, too, in all the Expendable movies. Got the fourth one coming out. Doing his own action stuff as well. We'll talk to Octagon heavyweight legend Randy Couture right after this.